You know, we are fastly approaching the end of the first 31 days of 2017. It seems like it's going faster every year. Does anybody feel that but me? I want to talk to you about holding on to your confidence. You know, I believe this is a year we need to rise up and trust God more than ever. Be confident that he'll do what he said he would do in this word right here. There's a lot of people that are sort of unsure, and they sort of wishing God would help them out and wondering whether he would or not. But we need to have confidence that he will perform what he said in the word here. Hebrews 10:35. I'm going to read from the NLT, Hebrews 10:35. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord, no matter what happens. Remember the great reward it brings you. I want to encourage you again, have confidence in the word. Having confidence in the word actually will bring the success of the word to you. You'll experience what God said belongs to you. Now the word confidence, here's the meaning from the Merriam-Webster.com. It says, the quality or state of being certain. Faith or belief that one will act in a right, proper, or effective way. You know, as athletes, you're told all the time, you will only play to your confidence level. In other words, if you believe you can, you'll play up to that level. If you think you can't, you won't play. You won't play very good. You know, I used to have a coach, he used to tell me, he said, believe you can do it. See yourself doing it. What is he telling me? Be confident. Get confidence. Throughout the Bible, we see people that faced all kinds of obstacles and opposition, persecution, enemies, and adversity. But we also see that they also came out victorious because they put their confidence in God. And what was one of the definitions? Faith or belief that one will act in a right and proper and effective way. Then confidence is faith or believing that God will act according to what he said right here in the word. Is that not correct? Y'all with me? Okay. Y'all's a little quiet. I just didn't know. Now, I want to look at some people that had confidence in the Bible. One of them was Moses. Moses had great confidence. He's being chased by the Egyptian army. They got the Red Sea in front of them, mountains on each side of them. And Moses stood up in the midst of the people and said, do not be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you've seen today, you will see no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. Now, that's speaking with some confidence to tell that group of people, hey, you're not ever going to see these guys again. You know, he told them, don't be afraid. Stand still. He didn't tell them to get weapons ready. He didn't tell them to get shovels and start digging some foxholes and building some barriers to fight behind. He didn't gather the leaders together for a great military strategy. He simply said, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. Now, I believe that this meant that they were to quit their whining and crying out in fear and be quiet. Because if you go read the whole chapter there, you'll find out that they were complaining and crying and going on. And then it could have meant that they were literally to stand still where they are and watch God take care of them. Or both. I think it probably meant both. Shut up. Quit crying. Quit whining. And stand still and watch me work. Sometimes God needs to tell us that. I said us. I didn't just say you, okay? So don't get upset. You know, sometimes when you're speaking, you say something, people get upset. Well, you're putting me down. No, I put myself in the same category, all right? Moses had great confidence, you know, to deliver that kind of message in that situation. Can you imagine the situation they're in? They had left Egypt, and now Pharaoh's bearing down on them, and they know if he catches them, it's going to be curtains. It's all over. Now, you know, you may have a level of confidence in God. If you're doing everything, you're scrambling around, you're doing what you know to do, and then you call on God for help. But you really have confidence when you simply stand still on the word of God in the face of all odds, in the face of everything that's against you, when everything is saying it can't happen, and you still stand on the word of God, that's confidence. Now let's go read that again in Exodus 14. Let's go read that again. And Moses said to the people, reading the King James, a new King James, "Do not be afraid, stand still, see the salvation of the Lord, which he will accomplish for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall see again no more forever. The Lord will fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." You know, out of that whole group, there's only one man that would stand up and with confidence say, "Hey, this is what God's going to do when he is looking in the face of impossibility in the natural." He even told him, "Today you're going to see it today." Now, you know, when you stop to think about it, getting up in front of about 1 million people or so and making that kind of statement, you sort of put your leadership on the line. Either God's going to come through or you're going to have a career change. Hello? Now, here is the great miracle that is often overlooked in all of this. There was over 1 million of them. And they listened to Moses as he made these impossible statements and actually did what he said. To get that many people to do what you say is a miracle in itself. You can hardly get 4 people together and get them all on the same page. The secret of experiencing what the word of God says belongs to us is confidently obeying what God says to do. Now we talk about it all the time. God said it, I believe it, that settles it. Hey, okay, if you believe it and it settles it, then do it. See, Moses walked to the edge of the sea. He stuck out that rod, and the water started rolling back. Now, the Egyptians thought they're going to do the same thing. When they got out in the middle of it, he held his rod out there again, and choo, the water crashed down on them. I'm just paraphrasing it, but you can read it there. And they were no more. That was it. Actually, in the midst of the sea, if you read the story, God caused the wheels to fall off their chariots and all kinds of calamities were happening to them. So they couldn't, and they were scrambling, and then the water came in on top of them. That was it. The difference between Israelites making it or being defeated. Now, this is something you need to get on. The difference between them being defeated and being victorious was the confidence that Moses placed in God, and then the confidence that they placed in what Moses said that God said. That was their secret. They confidently believed what God said in his word. You know, let's look at somebody else in the word. David, Psalms 27:13. I would have lost heart unless I had believed that I would see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. That's the King James, New King James. The NLT says, yet I am confident that I will see the Lord's goodness while I'm here in the land of the living. The NIV says, I remain confident of this. I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Here, the psalmist, David, he's being attacked by many adversaries, and they were doing their best to destroy him. But David indicates that it was so bad that only his confidence and faith in God was his salvation. David had great confidence that God would help him. Now, how did this confidence get built in David? Well, when he's a teenager watching his daddy's sheep, God helped him overthrow the lion and the bear. So there, now he's getting confidence in God. He went out, he defeated Goliath. He had confidence that God would help him. He readily defeated the Philistines time and time and time and time and time again, if you'll read the history there in the Old Testament, because he confidently believed what God said. He had confidence that God would protect him when King Saul was chasing him all over the kingdom wanting to kill him. And he had confidence that God would be with him as he served as king of Israel, because Samuel the prophet had anointed him to do so. The end result was that David enjoyed success and victory because he was confident in what God said to him. Now, a lot of people say, okay. That's Moses. And that's David. And David was someone special that God chose. People go on to say, well, now the average person shouldn't expect God to do for them what he did for David and Moses. Why not? The Word of God says we're chosen. You ever read it in there? David was chosen. Moses was chosen by God. And it says we are chosen. So we can expect the same thing if we have confidence in what God said. The victory comes in having confidence in what God said. Now let's go back and once again, let's read that confidence definition again. Confidence is faith and belief that one will act in a right and proper or effective way. Confidence is believing that God will act and do what he said he would do. That's just being confident. Many of you practice confidence every day and don't realize it. How many of you went out and got in your car and started it because you were confident that it was going to start? Now, I had one car that when I went out to start it, I wasn't confident. Every one of you practiced confidence a while ago. Just a few minutes ago, when I told you you could be seated, you sat down, you were confident that that pew was going to hold you up. If you weren't confident that that pew was going to hold you up, you would have checked it. Am I right? How many times do we practice confidence in something that we don't realize? We need to get to the same position with the Word of God that we practice confidence in the Word of God without even thinking about it. Now, the Bible tells us that the confidence will bring us great reward. Let's go here again and read it. Do not throw away this confident trust in the Lord. No matter what happens, remember the great reward it brings. NLT, I'm reading. Patient endurance is what you need now, so that you will continue to do God's will. Then you will receive all that he has promised. Now, I want to read that from the Amplified. I like it. Do not, therefore, fling away your fearless confidence, for it carries a great and glorious compensation of reward. For you have need of steadfast patience and endurance, so that you may perform and fully accomplish the will of God, and thus receive and carry away and enjoy to the full what is promised. How many of you like that? I want you to notice here, do not fling away a fearless confidence. That's what the Amplified says. Fearless means that there's no chance of it not happening. You're fearless. Here we're told to hold on to our confidence, because that is what will bring great reward. And I like this. It says, and it will bring glorious compensation. We understand that word a little bit better here in 2016. We understand glorious compensation. We understand compensation is receiving something for what you've done. Amen. How many of you get compensation on the 1st and 15th or on the 30th or every 2 weeks? Anybody get compensation? I got 30 people right in here. Out of all of these people, there are only 30 people that get paid. Now, let me ask that again. How many of you expect compensation at the end of the pay period? Yeah, we all do. So we can expect with confidence that if we do what God said to do, we will get compensation. We get compensation because we work. Y'all may not realize it, but y'all pay this church staff a salary or compensation for us to get up here and do what we do here. We preach to you. We go visit you in the hospital. We marry you. We bury you. We take care of you. But that's what a minister does, and he gets compensation for it. I thank God for my compensation. At least I can live. Hello? You know, somebody the other day told me, said, well, you're a preacher. You only work one day a week. I said, what? And you will be surprised. This guy, he thought that ministers didn't pay any kind of tax whatsoever. I said, what is the matter with you? What rock you been under? I said, I pay sales tax. I pay income tax, Social Security, just like you. What? I thought all preachers worked free. I thought they was free. They didn't have to pay no tax. I said, the only thing I don't have to pay tax on is the property here and stuff like that. But I said, we're not tax free. I mean, you'll be surprised how many people think that of ministers in today's world. You know, any of you ever seen that on Fox, that Waters World? Man, I'm surprised at how dumb people are. Come on now.
How many of y'all agree with me with what they, you know, the answers they give?
You know, I was on Facebook here the other day, and as you know, they always have these little tests on there, you know, answer this, answer that. And there was one on there about whether you're a Jew or not, you know. And so I answered it, and they said, I answered 90%. And they said, you must be a Jew. And I thought, well, I'm not literally, but according to the word of God, I've been adopted into the family. Of course, I knew all of the answers because of the Bible and studying the word of God. Then I did one just yesterday, or day before yesterday, on Friday, I did one about answering questions about World War II. And I got 35 out of 50, and the ones I missed was the ones about the German tanks and the stuff about Germany. All the rest of them I got about England and but it's sort of fun. Now I got everybody's attention back. One of the secrets of public speaking. Get the attention of your audience back by going a completely different direction. Now turn to your neighbor and say, confidence. Now just say it and point to yourself, confidence. You see, we all have opportunities to be fearful and to get out of confidence. Jeremiah and all his troubles, he wasn't afraid. Instead, he said, blessed are those who trust in the Lord and have made the Lord their hope and confidence. You know, when I was playing ball, a guy come up to me and said, hey, I'm going to take you down today and blah, 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 you know. And I just started to look at him and I said, I'll tell you who'll be standing when it's all over. Me. And he sort of jerked back, you know, because I got confidence in what I can do. Now that's just in the natural, but I got greater confidence in what God can do. How many of you got confidence in the natural, what you can do? Yeah. All of you, you that work at a job, you got confidence that you can handle that job. You can do that job. Well, we should be more confident of what God said in this word than we are in what our abilities are. Hallelujah. Just went blank. My crop sprayer piling over there. Phil has more confidence than I do. I ride in airplanes, but I ain't going to fly one that close to the ground at that speed, dusting those crops. That's what he does for a living. Hello? But he has to have confidence that he can do it, better not ever take off. Isn't that correct, Raphael? I don't know why we have confidence in everything in the world, and yet when it comes to the word of God, our confidence begins to wane. Anybody understand what I'm talking about? How many of you got your Bible? Either your hardback Bible, your iPad or something. Hey, say this with me. This is God's word. He said it. I am confident that he will do what he said. I believe everything in this word. And I am confident that he will take care of me and everything that belongs to me, according to the word, is mine. I'm confident. Hallelujah. Why am I so confident? Because he said, I will never fail you. I will never abandon you. So I can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will have no fear what mere people can do to me. I want to urge you this morning with everything inside of me. Be confident that God will do it. 1 John 5:14. And we can be confident that he will listen to us whenever we ask him for anything in line with his will. And since we know he hears us when we make our request, we also know that he will give us whatever he asks. That's confidence. That he said, and being confident that he will listen. And then he goes on to say here, John goes on to here to say, when we make our request, we also know that he will give us what we asked for. He's still talking about confidence. Oh, will you have a chance to doubt? Oh, yeah, but throw it out. The enemy gonna bring you every kind of thought in the world why it can't happen, and you can just say, hey, forget it, get out of here. My confidence is in the word. Believe. You see, the reason that I can talk about confidence is I watched a man practice it. Confidence in God's word. I sat behind him as a 5-year-old driving. We left left West Texas, headed back to McKinney, Texas, to his mom's. I saw him put the last dollar bill of gas he had in that car. He got in that car. And he thanked the Lord that we're going to get where we're going. Now, the tank wasn't close to being full. But he drove all the way there. I never saw him get nervous when that gas gauge got down to empty. I never saw him get nervous, agitated, or fearful at all. His confidence was in God. I heard him pray, and he said, all right, Lord, I put the last bit of money I had. They didn't pay me at that church after I got through preaching, and I put the last dollar I had in this car for gas. I expect you to get us to 405 East Stanford Street in McKinney, Texas. I expect you to get us there on the gas that's in this car. I thank you for it. Amen. I heard that as a 5-year-old. I heard him say that, and I watched him in confidence. Never waver in the least. The car sputtered a couple of times, and he said, I'm confident in you, Lord. I believe in you. And we drove it. You see, I can preach this with such confidence because I have seen it in action in my own family and in others. I have seen this confidence bring great reward, and confidence in the word will bring you great reward. It's been proven over and over and over and over again. So go out and prove it for yourself. Heavenly Father, I talked to these people for a few moments today, trying to stir up their pure hearts to get them to believe that they can have confidence in your word and know that when they have confidence in your word, that it will happen. I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Bow your heads, please. If there happens to be somebody in here that doesn't know Jesus Christ, your personal Savior, you can't have that confidence. If you happen to be in here and you need to rededicate your life so that you can renew that confidence, that's great too. If you happen just to go to church and don't know whether you've ever been saved or not, well, you can know this morning. Anybody on any one of those invitations, let me see your hand right now. You need Jesus. You need to rededicate your life. You need to know so experienced with God you don't know. Let me see your hand. Anybody, anywhere in here right now, is there a hand up in the balcony or somewhere? There's a hand. Thank you. Thank you. Yes. Anybody else? Anybody else? We believe in being filled with the Holy Spirit around here, according to Acts chapter 2, verse number 4. If you'd like to receive the Holy Spirit this morning, let me see your hand also. Praise the Lord. Everybody stand, please.
If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, I want to ask you to please come down here. I want to shake hands with you and pray with you, like I said. If you're in the balcony, ushers help you get down and come down these stairs over here. I'm going down front. If you raised your hand, should have raised your hand, wanted to raise your hand, needed to raise your hand, get down here right now. Come on. Come on.
Come as you are.
I'm waiting on you. Come on. Be confident of the fact that you can change your life forever by moving out right now. Come on. Come on. Hallelujah.
Jesus is waiting with open arms. So come just as you are.
They're coming from the balcony. Come on. Coming from the balcony. Hallelujah. It's a long walk, but well worth it. Anybody down here? Anybody down here? Come on. Come on. I really feel in my heart there's somebody that should come for rededication. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Come here, young man.
Come as you are.
That's a long walk, buddy. God bless you. Thanks for coming. Anybody else coming? Heavenly Father, I thank you for this young man. I thank you for his boldness to walk down here. I thank you that you shall supply for him today every spiritual need in his life, in Jesus' name. Amen and amen and amen and amen. Praise God. What's your name?
Blake.
Blake, I want you to go with Greg right there to a place where you can be prayed with individually. Deb, give him some literature and some stuff, okay? All right. God bless you. Hallelujah. Oh, wait a minute, Greg. Here comes somebody else. Hold on. Here comes another. Come on, young man. Hallelujah. God bless you, buddy. What's your name? Huh? Michael? Michael, I thank you right now that Jesus is going to minister to your life and change you, and you'll never be the same after today. Would you just go with Blake and Greg right there, that special place of prayer where you can be prayed with individually in them dead? Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Glory, 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 glory. Now that's what it's all about right there, guys. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God.